نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، علمائي الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and also our sisters listening and receiver. Over the past few days we've been discussing the lessons on Muraqabah e Maut which were delivered in this masjid last year by Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. And yesterday we had discussed how in the midst of entertainment and fun, death suddenly strikes on a person and all that entertainment and that fun is destroyed. Now again, just to remind ourselves that the purpose and the objective of reminding ourselves and making this muraqabah, contemplating on our death, is so that we get our lives in order, so that we are ready for our final moments. And if you look at the Quran and Majeed, many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of our death. In fact, in Surah Mulk, Allah ta'ala mentions, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That Allah ta'ala is that being who creates death and life, so that He can test you to see who does the best actions, the actions which have the most quality, the gist of this ayah. So Mufassireen mentioned that one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions death first and then life is that that person who keeps his maut, his death in front of him, he always remembers that he has to finally leave this world. Then inshallah his life will come, his life will be in order. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions death here, and thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions life, so that a person, if he keeps his death in front of him, then his life will be in order. So Shaitan, what he does is, he tempts a person. He puts the different glitter and glamour, he dazzles a person with the glitter and glamour of this world, and then he diverts this person from his objective in this world. And this is the promise Shaitan has made, a qasam, that لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ, that most certainly he will beautify this world. He will dazzle man with the glitter and the glamour of this world. Because Shaitan is very, very shrewd. He has got a lot of knowledge. He is an alim. And on this point, Hazrat Rahmatullah used to always mention that Shaitan, he had the three ayns. He was an alim. He knew the shariats of all the anbiya. And he was the one who misled so many ulama. So he is an alim. Together with that, he was also an abid. He was a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made so much of ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that even the angels would admire his ibadah. And together with that, he was also an arif of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he knew that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala became angry with him, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger was not like the anger of man, that when man gets angry, he completely loses control over himself. He recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's qualities, that even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had cast him out from Jannah, then too he supplicated to Allah, that oh Allah, give me life till Qiyamah. So he was an arif, he recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the missing ingredient in his life was he did not have the ishq, he was not an ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was not a lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because a true lover and ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then when the beloved gives a command, then the lover will immediately obey the desire of the one, of the beloved. So therefore we need to take a lesson from this, that we also must try and develop this ishq and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we must submit ourselves to every hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Shaitan tempts a person with the glitter and the glamour of this world, and then diverts the person from his objective. And Hazrat Rahmatullah gives a beautiful example on this. He says that look at the example of the airport. When a person is in the airport, then he has got, he's booked his ticket, he's got a departure time. So he may be sitting in the lounge, the waiting lounge to depart. A person might be in the first class lounge, a person might be in the economy class lounge. Whichever lounge he is in each lounge you may have different type of furniture, different types of ornaments and light fittings and so on, and different types of food and drinks. So each person will be enjoying a different status in accordance to his ability, his wealth. But every single person who's waiting in that departure lounge, His eye is always on the departure time. He makes sure that he does not become so preoccupied with the furniture or with the food and drink that he misses his flight. So in the same way, each and every person who has come into this world, a person may have a large home, another person may have a small home, one person may have so much of wealth, a person may have less wealth, another person may be a multi-millionaire, but each and every person, if he keeps his eye on his departure time, then inshallah he will live in this world and he will not become heedless and he will not forget his objective in this world. So when shaitan tries to tempt a person, if a person then shatters this temptation, this is when you will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gives this person wilayat, and this person, his heart becomes bright and his heart becomes shattered in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is when you find people become attracted to this person. So coming back to Maraqabah Maut, Khaja Azizul Hasan Majub rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, Daf'atan sar par jo a paunche ajal, phir kaha tu aur kaha darul amal. He says that suddenly when this death comes, then where are you and then where is the darul amal? Where is this world? And on this point, Hazrat Rahmatullah says, we see in today's times, this is how deaths are coming. Suddenly. Before, in the days before, you would find a person, first he would reach old age. Then you're expecting this person, now he's quite old, he's quite sickly, he might leave this world anytime. People are prepared. But today we find that a person, suddenly, he leaves this world. And Hazrat Rahmatullah gives the example. He says that he met a person in one of the wholesale stores. After the Asr Salah, he went and he met this person, and this person was very, very happy. He was doing some shopping. His daughter was about to get married any day, one of the coming days. So he was discussing with Hazrat Rahmatullah. And Hazrat left. And after the Maghrib Salah, after a little while, Hazrat went home, Rahmatullah, and he received a phone call that this person had left and on his way past Tongat, met up in an accident and passed away. So this is, and last night we know this, one of our brothers was sitting in the program and this morning we received news that he passed away. Of course, what a Mubarak death for that person. We should all envy these type of deaths and we should be desirous of these type of deaths. Even if a person passes away in a car accident, then ulama ikram explained to us that this is a form of shahadat for this person. But a lesson that they leave behind for us, that person few minutes before that he had no idea that within 1 hour or within 15 minutes or the next day, I will no longer be in this world. So therefore each and every person, he should treat his every ibadah as the last ibadah of his life. Because daf'atan sar par jo a paunche ajal, phir kaha tu aur kaha darul amal. Then when will you have the opportunity to do those actions again? The place for amal is this world. Now the opportunity is gone.
Jayega ye bebaha moka nikal, phir na haath aayegi umre bebadal.
He says this golden opportunity will leave your hand. And then this life, there's bebadal. A person cannot exchange this life. Or he cannot tell the angel of death that I have some wealth, I have some gold, I have some silver. Could I please do a deal? Give me a few more years for the car that I've got. Give me another 2 years or another 1 week so that I can sort my life out. No. He will never ever be able to exchange this life for anything of this world. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this death a secret. The hikmat ulama ikram explained that Allah ta'ala has kept this death a secret. Many hikmat, but one hikmat Hazrat Rahmatullah mentioned that Allah ta'ala knows our mizaj. That had we known when we were going to die, then what we would have said is that, I still got another 5 years, let me enjoy, do whatever I feel like doing. And then the last 1 month or last week, then we'll make sincere tawbah and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our mizaj. So therefore Allah ta'ala kept it a secret so that we can continuously make ibadah and continuously make tawbah and prepare ourselves and thereby earn higher rewards and greater rewards. So therefore we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us all the opportunity and He grants us all the tawfiq to realize that our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day. And Allah ta'ala must grant us the opportunity and the ability to spend the remaining days of our lives totally and only in His obedience. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continue our discussion about the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And we had discussed Mu'adh bin Jabal رضي الله تعالى عنه, Mus'ab bin Umair رضي الله تعالى عنه. We had mentioned yesterday that these were shining stars, each one of them. Whichever Sahabi we will follow, we will definitely be guided. Because their hearts were pure, their hearts were clean, they were sincere, they were devoted, they were dedicated. They had the focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they had an object which they realized in this world that they had to achieve. And they followed the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had followed every single action of his very intently, very closely. They observed him very well. They watched every movement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every step he would take, his journeys, they would accompany him. The manner in which he would talk, the manner in which he would deal with people, how he would speak and eat and sleep. And therefore they brought this beautiful seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into their lives to such an extent that Sahaba would imitate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So many of them were known to be following exactly the same seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the manner of his gait, the manner in which he walked also. So today inshallah we do Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu ta'ala, a very special sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the sense that he was known as sahibu sirri Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sir in Arabic means secret. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically chose this sahabi Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala an and mentioned to him certain secrets, certain personal things which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not disclose to any other sahabi. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even gave him a list of the munafiqeen, the hypocrites. This list was not even given to Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Of course, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, from all the Sahaba, he was the greatest. He's number one. Then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, then Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, then Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the remaining of the Ashar Mubashara. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, undoubtedly he was the most closest to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that every other Sahabi I have paid him back in this world, except Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. His ihsan and favors upon me are too much. And if I had to take any person as a khalil, a bosom friend, a khalil, then I would have taken Abu Bakr, but Allah had already made me his khalil. So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu had a list of the munafiqeen. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, such a great sahabi, guaranteed jannat in this world. But he would go to Hudhayfa and ask him to please tell me the names. Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu would refuse, because this was an amanat given to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until Sayyidina Umar once asked him, okay, tell me, is my name included in the list or not? He said, your name is not there. And after that he said, now nobody else will ask me if they need the day or not. But Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would watch Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu and see which type of people, which Sahaba he would frequently meet and be with. And whenever there was a janaza, Umar radiallahu anhu would watch very carefully, is Hudhayfa attending this janaza or not? Of course, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu would not attend the janaza of a munafiq. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would get some clue that perhaps this person was a munafiq and therefore he would also not attend that particular janaza. One Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu asked Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, amongst my governors, I have appointed so many of them in different villages and cities, is there anyone amongst the munafiqeen? He says, yes, there's one. He said, give me his name. He says, no, I cannot give you his name. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu with firasah. This is a long topic. A very keen eye, that the eye of this physical eye that we have, that sight, He had that inside of the heart. His heart was so pure. So pure that Rasulullah mentioned, if they had to be a Nabi, if there was going to be a Nabi after me, then it would be Umar. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala would mention so many times things when Rasulullah would counsel them, exactly what opinion Sayyidina Umar would give, exactly like that Allah would reveal an ayat that exactly what Umar radiallahu ta'ala had mentioned, this is what should be done. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, Allah had blessed him with that batini quwwat and noor, and somehow he managed to gauge that which particular governor it was, and then he removed him from that position. Nevertheless, Sayyidina Hudhayfa, his father lived in Makkah, but he had killed a person in Makkah before accepting Islam. So he flees Makkah and he comes to Medina. That time Medina was known as Yathrib. When he came to Medina, there was the Aws and Khazraj tribe. There were many families that lived there. And we mentioned yesterday, Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe. Remember the two leaders, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala and Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu ta'ala. So, these were the Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe. So he befriends them. And of course, they used to protect him and look after him. So because they were originally from Yemen, so he was then called Yamani, one who comes from Yemen, because he was their friend. Therefore his son is known as Hudhayfa ibn al-Yamani. Hudhayfa, the son of Yamani. Yamani was not his father's real name. This is the name given to him because of his close association with the people of the Banu Abdul Ashhal tribe. When Islam came in Makkah and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he preached Islam, then Hudhayfa's father, Yaman, comes to Makkah and he accepts Islam. He goes back to Medina and he makes an effort on his family. They also accept Islam. After some time, his father brings him. Hudhayfa comes with his father to Makkah and then he proclaims the Shahadat again in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala the option. He says, in shi'ta, if you wish, kunta min al-muhajirin, you can be from amongst the muhajirin, wa in shi'ta kunta min al-ansar. Because they were originally from Makkah, and then they went to Medina, Rasulullah gave them the choice. You can either be from the muhajirin, those who leave Makkah and make hijrah to Medina, or you can be from the ansar, the helpers, those who are helping the muhajirin. Whichever one you wish. He said, I wish to be from the ansar. So therefore he was from the ansar. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him very dearly. And there's so many incidents to show this bond between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To understand his position after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst the Sahaba, there's a person by the name of Alqama Itabi'i. He says, I went to Sham, Syria, came to the masjid, and performed 2 rakat salat. Then I made a dua. Allahumma rzuqni jalisan salihah. Ya Allah, I want to sit by a pious person. Now this should be our dua. Ya Allah, make me sit by some pious person who I can benefit from. So it so happened, he comes close to Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala asks him, Mimman anta, where you come from? He says, I am from the people of Kufa, from Iraq. Because he was living in Kufa in Iraq then. So I have come here and I made dua to Allah to sit by some pious person so I can benefit from him. I said, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, these were the Sahaba. Their hearts were so pure, so clean. So much of ikhlas and sincerity they had. That the moment somebody comes to take benefit from them, they would benefit the person. But they would ask him, where do you come from? You come from that certain town. Aren't there great scholars in your town whom you can benefit from? So he asked him, أَلَيْسَ فِيكُمْ صَاحِبُ السِّرْ Is there not amongst you Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala, the knower of the secrets whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had trusted and gave him so many secrets? Is he not there? Why don't you benefit from him? Why are you coming all the way here to benefit from me? So these are the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. From this we understand the position of Sayyidina Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, the eyes of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. Very particular about him was unique. He would ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the shar that is going to take place in this ummah. All the evils, all the fitnas, all the trials before Qiyamah. He says, other Sahaba would ask all the khair. I used to ask Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what type of fitna is going to take place? Tell me more about this fitna. Tell me about that before Qiyamah. What are the signs? So Rasulullah sallam would mention to us, he says, there were many who learned and then forgot. But I was amongst those who memorized all this. And from all the Sahaba, he had memorized most of these types of fitna. In fact, he takes a qasam one day and he says, that I can tell you exactly from now ila qiyam sa'ah, till the day of Qiyamah, every single fitna and trial that's going to take place, Rasulullah had mentioned to me, I can mention all that to you. So for many other signs of Qiyamah or those fitna that will take place and trials, may Allah Ta'ala save us from all those fitnas. Sayyidina Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu had questioned Rasulullah SAW, and therefore he would be very wary and he would save himself and protect himself from those fitna. Once his mother, she asked him, Hudhaifa, when last did you go visit Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Obviously this was in his early period. So he mentioned, I went certain day, she became very angry with him. So long, so many days have passed, you haven't visited Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Go now. Go now and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he says, I will go. And she tells him, tell him to make dua and maghfirah for both of us. So he goes, it is maghrib with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after maghrib, he waits there. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving. And suddenly a person comes, or some figure, some form comes in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, I was following. For some time, something transpired between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and this image that came in front of him. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard me from behind. Man hada, who's it? I said, it is Hudhaifa. Hudhaifa, you, what are you doing here? So I explained to him, my mother sent me. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ghafar Allahu laka wa li ummik. May Allah forgive you and your mother. Dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah make you and your mother's maghfirat. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, did you see this image coming in front of me? Something came in front of me. He said, yes, I saw. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this was an angel who came down, and this is the first time this particular angel came down to the earth. Never before it ever this angel came down. It took permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angel made salam upon me, and then the angel gave me glad tidings that Hassan and Hussein, Sayyida Shababi Ahlil Jannah, that my two grandson, Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, will be the leaders of the youth in Jannah. Wa Fatima, my daughter Fatima, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahl Jannah, she will be the leader of the women of Jannah. From this we understand Ahl Bayt, Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhuma and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Nevertheless, it was the battle of Uhud, third year after Hijri. When the Sahaba were fighting, we know the Battle of Uhud, what happened. We're not going to go into the details now. But there was a time when suddenly the enemy was seemingly getting some type of victory. Sahaba began to scatter. So for some period, there was some type of chaos that ensued. In the meantime, because they had covered their faces as they were fighting, and in those time, the war, they should fight very closely. So while the Kufar and the Muslims were fighting Uhud, one Sahabi mistook the father of Hudhaifa to be part of the enemy. So he takes out his spear and he's about to throw the spear. And he sees Hudhaifa's father, Yaman. Not knowing that he is also from among the Sahaba, he mistook him for an enemy. Hudhaifa happens to see that this person is about to attack my father. He begins to scream, Abi, Abi, it's my father, it was too late. This Sahabi already throws the spear, it pierces the father of Hudhaifa Yaman, he becomes Shaheed. Hudhayfa is crying, runs to his father, my father, after the battle took place, Rasulullah ﷺ came to know, this is what happened. Obviously, this sahabi, khata'an, made a mistake. He didn't do it purposely. He mistook him to be part of the enemy. He was full of remorse. Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala forgave the sahabi. Dear Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we will give you the blood money, the diyat. Hudhayfa, accept the blood money on behalf of your father. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have forgone that right also. That blood money also I don't require. I have made that also maaf. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved him now even more. It was Khandaq. Khandaq is also another very long incident that took place. Absolutely cold. Winter's night, Sahaba had barely any clothing to cover themselves. Rasulullah required, I'm cutting the story very short, he required somebody to go and spy on the camps of the enemy and check what's happening. What are the intentions? What are the plans? Rasulullah is passing all the Sahaba. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, I had a shawl of my wife that I covered myself. It could not cover my entire body. It just below my knees. That's the only thing I had. I was clinging onto the ground because of severe hunger and the cold. I couldn't even stand up. Rasulullah goes past. He said, Man hada, who is it? I said, Hudhayfa. I was afraid. I couldn't even stand up because I was feeling so cold. And I was so hungry. No food to eat. Nabi Kareem says, stand up, Hudhayfa. So I stood up. He says, Oh Hudhayfa, I want you to go into the enemy camp. I want you to spy on them, but don't do anything on your own accord. All you're going to do, go and find out what's happening and come back. Then Nabi Kareem says, makes a dua. اللهم احفظه من بين يديه ومن خلفه وعن يمينه وعن شماله. والله, you protect him from in front of him, from behind him, from his right hand side, from his left hand side, from above. He said, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم hardly finished this dua. He says, I take a qasam in Allah that hunger disappeared and suddenly I felt some warmth in my body. Even the cold disappeared. I felt warm. Covered myself, covered my face, just my eyes were open, I managed to sneak into the enemy camps. As I reached there, I see Abu Sufyan assembling the enemy, the Kufar. And there was a terrible wind that began to uproot the enemy camps, the tents. The pot even could not sit on the fire. And the pots were overturned. The animals also that ran away. So Abu Sufyan gathers the enemy and he tells each, he addresses them, he says, before I am going to give you a very important message, I want each person to check who is sitting next to him, lest there be a spy who is here. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu thought to himself, I am finished. Now what do I do? Allah Ta'ala, he had the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah is going to protect him. So he says, before this person could ask me who I am, I in a very stern voice asked, who are you? Are you not from the enemy or the spies? He said, you don't know me, who am I? Give me his name. Oh, I said, okay, then it's alright. So this person didn't ask him who are you? So Allah Ta'ala saved him that way. Abu Sufyan says, we've got no chance here. Our animals have gone away. We've lost our camels and horses. And see this wind that is coming. So I am returning. I'm going back. You also come now. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu says, as Abu Sufyan was mounting his camel, I had every opportunity to kill him. But the word of Rasulullah said, don't do anything wrong. So I had to come back. When I come back, Rasulullah is performing Fajr Salah. And the Nabi of Allah also just has one little shawl covering his body. Nabi Kareem finishes Fajr Salah, he says, Hudhayfa, I go and tell him whatever I had seen. Nabi Kareem became so happy, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives me dua. Like this, there were so many other important incidents in the life of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, and one last incident, and the Quran Sharif we see is known as, has the form of Rasm-e-Uthmani. The time Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه, the Quran was compiled like this in a book form to make it easy for all of us to recite the Quran. A very long incident, but the person who motivated this whole idea was Hudhayfa رضي الله عنه. Because he saw when the Sahaba were fighting, people were going from Iraq, the Sahaba, they were going to other Bidan, other Bajan, and other Armenia, and other villages and other towns, and many of the Huffaz were getting killed. So he was worried about the preservation of the Quran. Therefore he brought this fikr and worry in front of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu that we should have it in a book form now, so that even if the Huffaz are killed, the Quran is still preserved. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, this is a very brilliant idea, and that is how they compiled the Quran Sharif in a book form. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to emulate these beautiful lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een. What a beautiful, simple life they led. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the success. May Allah ta'ala also give us that success in the akhirat. Wa akhir da'an, alhamdulillahi wa ta'ala. Allahumma laka alhamdu kulluhu, laka ash-shukru kulluhu, la muhti thana'na alayka, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad al-Mubarak wa sallim. Oh my most beloved Allah, my most kareem Allah, my most raheem Allah. Oh may Allah, in the darkness of this night, Ya Allah, we have assembled in Your house, Ya Allah, with Your tawfiq, Your fazal, Your kindness, O may Allah. We have raised our hands again, O may Allah. We are desperate, may Allah. Look at our faces, Ya Allah. Look at our hearts, may Allah. You know what is our condition, may Allah. You know what is our life. What type of sins we have committed in the past, Ya Allah. What type of sins we are committing, O may Allah. O may Allah, we are trying, Ya Allah, in this month of Ramadan to inculcate in ourselves the taqwa. The taqwa which you have mentioned again and again in the Quran and Majeed, O Allah. O Allah, forgive us all our sins, may Allah. All the sins we committed in the darkness of the night, in broad daylight, in public, in privacy, amadan, khata'an, Ya Allah, whatever we did, intentionally, unintentionally, jokingly, seriously, whatever sins we committed, Ya Allah, we angered you on so many occasions, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, despite all our disobedience, you still tolerate us, Ya Allah. You still tolerate us. You still provide for us. You give us food. You give us clothes. You give us water. You give us shelter. You give us protection, Ya Allah. Because you are a loving Allah. You gain nothing by punishing us, Ya Allah. You love to forgive. You look for little excuses to forgive us, Ya Allah. Oh my Allah, you are so generous. You are so kind. Your treasures are full, Ya Allah. Your treasures never become exhausted, Ya Allah. You give and you give and you give. And nothing decreases from your treasures, your khazana, oh my Allah. We beseech your help. We require hidayat from you. We want your assistance. We want hidayat, Ya Allah. We want afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection. We want your marifat. We want your qurb, Ya Allah. We want you to become ours, Ya Allah. Make us yours. Become our friend, O my Allah. Become our friend, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we fear your azab. We have the khushiyat, my Allah, but we have more hope in your mercy, Ya Allah, your rahmat, your mercy is far more greater than our sins, Ya Allah. We have committed so many gunas, but your just one nazar rahmat, one merciful glance upon us, Ya Allah, it will wash away all of the sins, may Allah, completely, and our hearts will become musaffa, mujalla, paak, saaf, clean, may Allah. Give us that iffat, give us that paak damani, make us have live a chaste life, a pure life. Like how the Sahaba were, Ya Allah. Their hearts were so clean, their hearts were so pure, they were so sincere, devoted, dedicated. They had the taqwa, they had that wara. Oh, my Allah. You were pleased with them, you gave them the jannat, oh Allah. We are trying to imitate the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu majma'een. We are reading about the stories, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we love the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu majma'een, every one of them, Ya Allah. We love our Rasul-i-Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, most handsome, most beautiful Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, may Allah, He made such sacrifices for us. Oh, may Allah, forgive us. We have not understood those sacrifices. We have not appreciated those sacrifices. This beautiful deen has reached us on a golden platter, may Allah. But we have forgotten the toils, the efforts of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the camel's interest in his place on his Mubarak back. Why is he is making sajda to you, oh, may Allah? Ya Allah, in that condition even, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes it sajda. What pain, what suffering, what persecution, what torment, what trial, what tribulations. his beloved Fatima comes and she struggles to remove that interstaying of the camel from the back of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The enemy were laughing at her. She was a little girl. Oh, my Allah, tight incident. His feet was clogged with blood, my Allah. Or had his teeth become shattered? There were so many occasions that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made such sacrifices, thorns were placed on his pathway. Still Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such a heart, such a wasi' heart, that he accommodated even his enemies. He would even be worried about his enemies. Oh, may Allah, the leader of all the munafiqeen, the leader of the munafiqeen, the one who was an enemy of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was responsible for slandering Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Even this person, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, led his janazah salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even provided a kafan for him also. He was rahmatul alameen. Oh my Allah, make the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come into our lives. Make us love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dearly and truly. Ya Allah, make us follow his footsteps. Make us follow his naqsh-e qadam, ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us follow every sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us love him. Make us obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us obey you, oh my Allah. Make your love, your muhabbat, your ishq, fill our hearts, ya Allah. Remove from our hearts the hasad, the kina, the bughs, the adawat, the pride, the jealousy, the malice, the love of dunya, of illicit relationships that we have, and haram, and pornographic material, and in the internet, ya Allah, and the rave clubs, and the disco clubs, and wine, and alcohol, and taking drugs, and all the filthy gunas, oh my Allah. Cleanse and purify our hearts, ya Allah, tonight. Cleanse our hearts, ya Allah. Nobody can question you, ya Allah. If you wish to forgive us, no person can question you, my Allah. You are Ghafur Rahim, you are Kareem, you are Malik. Everything is in your control, ya Allah. You are Ghani. We are Fuqara. We are begging from you, O my Allah. Faqiruka bi babik. Ubayduka bi finaik. Usailuka bi finaik. We have raised our begging bowls in front of you, my Allah. Because there is no other Allah we can turn to, my Allah. There is no other deity we can go to, ya Allah. We're going to knock on your door again and again and again, my Allah, until you open your doors for us. Open your doors tonight for us, ya Allah. Open your doors of rahmat. Open your doors of hidayat. Open your doors of maghfirat. Open your doors of acceptance. Open your doors of pleasure and radhamandi. Ya Allah, tu razi banja. Ya Allah, tu razi banja. Rahmataka narju. Rahmataka narju. Rahmataka narju. We ask you for your mercy, ya Allah. Please become happy with us, ya Allah. Ya Allah, we want you to become pleased with us. If you are pleased with us, if you are happy with us, ya Allah, everything becomes easy for us. In dunya, in qabr, akhirat, ya Allah, if you become ours, everything is ours. Agar tu mera, tu sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. Agar tu nahi mera, to koi shay nahi mera. Koi, ya Allah, whatever people are asking from you, ya Allah, tonight, ya Allah, they are begging, ya Allah, our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, ya Allah, in different parts of the world, ya Allah, some in Haramain Sharifin, some in Masjid Al-Aqsa, ya Allah, in different masajid, in our homes, ya Allah, our sisters and mothers, ya Allah, so many are making i'tikaf in the homes, our brothers in different masajid, they're making i'tikaf, ya Allah, ulama-i kiram, mashayikh-i-izam, young hufaz, ya Allah, elderly ones, ya Allah, the sick, the old, the young, the rich, the poor, every person, ya Allah, they have kept roza during the day, they have stood up for tarawih salat, they have participated in different dini programs, they're making a little bit of qurbani. Ya Allah, you accept it, ya Allah. Accept each one's dua. Each one has got some worry, some cry in his heart, something that is melting him, something that's finishing him. Oh, my Allah, he's looking for some refuge, some shelter, some protection. There is no protection besides yours, ya Allah. La malja, wala manja, minka, illa ilayk. Ya Allah, we cannot run away from you, but back to you, my Allah. We cannot run away anywhere else. Fafirru ila Allah. You have said, run away from gunas. Run to you, Allah. Ya Allah, you are our mawla. You are our master. You are our protector. You are the one who cares for us. Ya Allah, ay mere mawla, ay mere aqa, tu hamara banja. Hame tera bana le. Ya Allah, you become our tonight. You make the festa of hidayat, ya Allah. You make the festa of hidayat, ya Allah. Have that karam. have the shafqat, have the love, have the concern. Ya Allah, do not turn away from us, Ya Allah. Do not turn your eyes and focus on your nazar, rahmat, away from us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, shower us with your special mercy, with your special favors, with special kindness. Give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. All those who are sick and ailing, Ya Allah, whatever sicknesses they have, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, just before we commence this program, the brother came and told me that a little child, 7-year-old boy, he's in hospital, he's got a brain tumor. Ya Allah, he's suffering. Little child, Ya Allah, you are Hakim. Nobody can question you, Allah. You've got reasons for whatever you do, my Allah. We're asking you, you are Shafi, Ya Allah. Shifa is only in your hands, my Allah. If each sick person completes Shifa, Shifa Kamil, Ajil, Mustaqir, Daim, Ya Allah. Whatever sicknesses, whether they got cancer or some heart problem, whatever ailment they have, so many do not know what is the disease and what is their problem. The doctors have failed. They don't know what medication to give them. Oh, my Allah, you are Shafi. You can change the conditions, Ya Allah, with a split second. You don't even have to say kun and it becomes, oh, my Allah. Ya Allah, all the marhumeen, grant them jannatul firdaus. Ya Allah, every marhum, Ya Allah, grant him jannatul firdaus. So many have passed away in the month of Ramadan also. Ya Allah, grant them maghfirat. Give their family sabr jameel. Oh, my Allah, especially our beloved Hazrat Mawlana Rahmatullahi alayhi, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant him jannatul firdaus. Ala illiyin, Ya Allah. Make his face to be, Ya Allah, spread throughout, Ya Allah. Even after his demise, Ya Allah, make his mission, make his work continue, Ya Allah. Till the day of Qiyamah, make it be a sadqa jariya for him, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make his qabr iradatun min riyad al-jannah. Oh, my Allah, give us maut with iman, Ya Allah. Give us maut with iman, Ya Allah. Give us maut in Madinah Sharif, Ya Allah. Give us baril in jannatul baqi. Close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Close to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu alayhi wa sallam. Close to Umar Farooq radiyallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kus Uthmani Ghani radiyallahu ta'ala, Azwadi Mutahharat, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are the great, great, great Sahaba. Oh, may Allah, we have no other hope, Ya Allah. At least if we bury day with Iman, in a question condition, you are pleased with us, Ya Allah. If we get Jannatul Baqi, Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, we will rise with the people of Baqi. We will rise with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Shaykhain radiyallahu anhumah. Oh, may Allah, then we'll get the Sifarish, Ya Allah, in the session of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my Allah, Hawza Kothar, make it be such that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from a distance, our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sees us, and he must call out to us, he must go running to him, my Allah, he must embrace us, and he must welcome us, and give us from his Mubarak hands, the water of Hawza Kothar, Ya Allah. Oh, my Allah, make us be with the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu majma'een on the day of Qiyamah. We have read about their lives, my Allah. Help us to become like the Sahaba, Ya Allah. We cannot make those sacrifices, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, overlook our faults, Ya Allah. When a person buys a bag of potatoes, Ya Allah, it may be an A-grade, Ya Allah, bag of potatoes, all good ones. But one or two may just come out not making the grade. But it is overlooked and it comes in the same packet, a pocket of potatoes. Oh, my Allah, we are useless, my Allah. We have wasted our lives, Ya Allah. We have committed gunas upon gunas upon gunas until our hearts have become so hardened. Our hearts have become harder than rocks, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, we don't get the lazzat of your ibadat anymore. The lazzat of your dhikr. We become lazy. We just want to run away from your house. And we just want to waste our time in all haram avenues and haram pleasures, oh, my Allah. Oh, my Allah, you forgive us, Ya Allah. You forgive us. Look how you accept the Sahaba. Look how you accept the awliya. Accept us also, Ya Allah. Put our name also in the list of your friends, Ya Allah. In your awliya'i kamilin, siddiqeen, muqarrabeen, Ya Allah. Allahumma thabbitna ala al-iman, wa amitna ala al-iman, wa ahshunna yawm al-qiyamati ma'al-iman. And all those with ihsan and kindness upon us, Ya Allah. Grant them best of dunya, best of akhirat. If they have passed away, make them maghfirat, Ya Allah. Especially our parents, Ya Allah, if they are living, help us to serve them, obey them, Ya Allah. Give them happiness in the life, give them barakat. Give them afiyat, give them the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Make our families among the saliheen, among the muttaqeen, Ya Allah. So parents have left this world, Ya Allah. Give them jannatul firdaus. Ya Allah, whoever else it may be, all the others, our asatiza, mashayikh, Ya Allah, those apas who taught us also, our friends, Ya Allah, all those who are of some benefit, Ya Allah, some ihsan and kindness, Ya Allah. You assist all of them in dunya. Give them barakat, Ya Allah. Give all of us halal, rosy and plentiful, Ya Allah. Give us barakat in our lives, Ya Allah. Barakat in our families, barakat in our knowledge, barakat in our a'mal, barakat in our masjid, barakat in our homes. Wherever we go, make us become beacons of hidayat, Ya Allah. Da'wat and tabligh, the world accept it, Ya Allah. Use us for the khidmat of your deen. With ikhlas, give us sincerity, Ya Allah. Do not make us do things for show, for riya and ostentation, Ya Allah. Make us mukhliseen, Ya Allah. Make us your muqarrabin from your atiya, your abrar, your muqarrabin, Ya Allah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim, Ya Allah. All those requested duas. Answer all the duas. Entire ummah of Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma fili ummati Sayyidina Muhammadin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma tajawaz ummati Sayyidina Muhammadin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ansur wa ahfaz ummata Sayyidina Muhammadin, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.